Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skyler Fleming. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. Today, we're going to be talking about the personal part of personal finance. More specifically, some behavioral aspects of personal finance. This is an exciting topic, and the inspiration for this topic recently came from a webinar I did for my work. And I put together quite a bit of information on this, so I wanted to present it to my podcast audience. With all that information comes a brand new resource as well. So be sure to go to moneytalk.skylerfleming.com/resources to find the latest and greatest resource with the 6 behavioral finance tips. The topics we're going to cover today are: why is money so difficult? How money is more than just math? How money can't buy happiness, automation, and some behavioral tips. These are all going to be significant sections, and I'm excited to cover all of these on the podcast. What are the money talking points from today's episode? Well, they're: why do you think money is so difficult? How can automation help me in my finances? Which of the 6 behavioral finance tips would help me best? So please be sure to share this podcast with a friend or family member and then discuss the money talking points. But let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It is a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have much time to research and learn about all things when it comes to personal finances, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk, comes into play. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. So why is money so difficult? And that's because we are the problem. The hardest thing about personal finance is the personal part. That's what makes it so difficult. It can bring about a lot of emotions and different reactions from everyone. That's why we can't really be too hard on ourselves. We have to be willing to give ourselves some flexibility to learn and adapt, especially if you're managing money with someone else. But understanding our own behavior and how our own emotions impact our financial decisions is going to be an eye-opener for so many people. Perhaps look at how you handle money and how you react to different financial situations. Perhaps you find yourself wanting to make sure you saved more than you really need because you had some sort of emergency happen to your parents that ruined them financially for years. Perhaps you don't save enough money because your parents were very well off and you didn't have to worry about money or anything when it came to money as a kid. These sort of stories impact all of us and how we act and react with money. But also, 1 + 1 isn't always 2 when it comes to managing money. If it was, that would make it much easier. But that leads us to our next point about how money is more than just math. The simple formula is just to spend less than you make, right? But if that's all it takes, then why is it so hard? Well, it's impossible to calculate human behavior every single time. You're not going to be able to figure it out every single time. We don't know how we're always going to feel and react. That's why it's more than just math when it comes to money. Because if it's just what you make minus what you spend is all that was in the equation, it'd be much easier. But then there's also human behavior in that part of the aspect and part of the equation. For me, it's not being able to be patient and sit still with my money and trying to chase the best returns. For others, it might be spending way too much money. And for some, it might be saving too much money and not having any fun in our life. Learning how we act with money is an essential ingredient in the recipe to manage it and make it better for all of us so that we're living a comfortable and balanced lifestyle, but also so that we're not drowning in debt and that we're not spending way too much money and that we're not chasing the best returns and end up losing all of our money because we gambled it too much, essentially, or speculated too much with our investments. But let's talk about a point that we touched on last week about money and happiness. People often say that money can't buy happiness. And while this is true, if you don't have money, it's surely going to leave you unhappy. That's the main point of my episode last week. The fact of not having any money or not managing your money well will leave you unhappy. And this is because we need money to have a stable financial foundation and to afford the basic necessities of life. When those are hard to come by, it piles on the stress. And I'm often talking about how stress will impact more than just our mental health. It can impact physical ailments and have some sort of physical problems. Those physical problems can lead you to not being able to go to work, which can lead to more financial stress and more mental struggles, and then begins a cycle of unhappiness because you're struggling with your money. So yes, while money directly isn't going to buy you happiness, being able to manage your money well is going to afford you a whole lot of freedom in your life and really, really help. So let's talk about how we can take out some of that human behavior and some of the personal part of our finances with automation. Let's talk about that next. One thing that I love to talk about a lot is automation. It takes the human part out of managing our money. It makes it a little less personal, which can sometimes be a good thing, can make it a whole lot easier to save. Simple things like automating your paycheck to go to certain bank accounts or to your investment accounts or your retirement accounts can be a huge win when it comes to saving for things like a vacation, a home down payment, and all those sort of things that take longer than just a couple paychecks to save for. Those things that can be harder to save for is where automation can be key. But especially when it comes to really long-term savings like retirement, automation can be the difference between retiring or not. When you set up automatic deposits to your retirement account, it makes it so much easier to learn how to live on the remaining amount. And it's very likely you're going to be just fine. Your lifestyle is going to adjust. Just like there's lifestyle creep when you're making more money and then you suddenly start spending more money. When there's sort of like a lifestyle like cutback, you're going to adjust and you're going to be just fine. And you're going to be able to live on the money you have, even if it's slightly less. So if you automate some of your retirement savings, you're going to naturally figure out a way to spend less money. And this leads me to a book recommendation. One of my favorite books is The Automatic Millionaire by David Bach. He teaches all about how you can easily become a millionaire just through automation. A small percentage of your income can go a very long way when it comes to long-term savings. And this is how you start building compound interest, where your money you're earning on your money will begin to earn more money. And I know that can sound a little complex just at face value, but it's where your money is growing because you're earning money, and then that money you're earning allows you to increase the amount of money you can earn on. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. If you don't understand compound interest, it's something you have to look up, something you have to make sure you understand, because Albert Einstein said, if you understand it, you earn it. If you don't understand it, you pay it. So make sure you understand compound interest. But what are some tips and actual things that can help you get in control and help you get better with your behavior around money? Well, that's where our new resource, the 6 Behavioral Finance Tips, is going to come into play. Let's talk about all of those next. There are 6 key behavioral tips that I really want to share. Also, I've created a new resource on my website for these tips. It's a simple PDF of all the tips and some key steps and definitions of each one. Be sure to check it out at moneytalk.skylarfleming.com/resources, where you can find my 6 behavioral finance tips, as well as the money talking points, both of which are going to be a great resource for you to start talking about money more with other people and to start making good change in your personal finances. But let's get right into the 6 tips. The first one is the 24-hour rule. Have you ever found yourself really, really wanting something, whether it's some sort of lightning deal because of Prime Days or some sort of expiring sale or some really cheap get it while it's hot kind of deal? Well, the first tip I have to help master this aspect of impulsive shopping and things like that is the 24-hour rule. It means you have to wait 24 hours before you make a purchase. If you see something you really want, you have to wait a whole day. And then if you still want it a day later, you can look into purchasing it. The whole point of this is to be able to say, hey, I can wait that out. And then if the deal's gone, you probably are going to be just fine without it. And it's going to help eliminate so many impulse purchases and save quite a bit of money. So the second tip is track your net worth. Your net worth is all that you own versus or subtract all you owe or your debt. So all of your assets minus all of your liabilities. Whether your net worth is positive or negative, tracking it is a great tip to get you heading in the right direction. I know for me and my wife, once we started tracking our net worth, we suddenly saw it growing at a rapid pace and we were like, whoa, how is it doing that? And I think it's just because keeping an eye on your net worth allows you to say, hey, we're making things that are moving us in the right direction. Let's keep doing it. And it lights a fire within you that really keeps you motivated towards making the right changes and right decisions when it comes to growing your net worth. And one common phrase I hear with this is it's an invisible hand in your mind that's going to make things just work out. And you'll start to grow your net worth like you've never thought you could. It's going to make it a whole lot easier to take the steps that you need to save and grow your money. So third is accountability partners. And I love the idea of accountability partners. Having someone to hold you accountable is a great plan. Helps you stay on top of your finances and gives you someone to talk about with money. Who's the easiest person to lie to? Well, it's yourself, because you can tell yourself you're going to do something. And what's the ramification if you don't? Well, you move on with your life and you're okay. But that's why you got to have someone else to be accountable to, someone to share your progress with, someone to put a little bit of pressure and motivation on you so that you can do what you said you're actually going to do. Talking with your friends about this one is a great place to start. Share them your next financial goal and ask them if they can help keep you on track by checking in weekly or something like that. It can be a really big deal towards helping you get better with your finances. So my fourth tip is writing down a plan. This is a really just a tip for me. I found myself continually stirring over the next big thing my wife and I were going to put our money in. This led to my wife being stressed and uneasy and me feeling anxious and nervous about how our money wasn't earning all it could be. So writing down a plan not only helped us be on the same page, but it also helped me stay sane and calm and my wife not be so stressed. And this applies to people who are managing money by themselves as well. If you are, write down the plan as well and share it with that accountability partner that we just mentioned. The plan helps you keep on track. But make sure you adjust the plan or else it's eventually going to become outdated and then you'll just stop following it and then you're back to the point where you had no plan. So for me, I adjust it quarterly. I would recommend adjusting it that often. I wouldn't say adjust it monthly or weekly because then you're just adjusting it as much as you were trying to change things all the time anyways. But make sure you're adjusting it at least yearly. Make sure you're having some sort of big yearly financial meeting so you can say, hey, here's our plan. This is the kind of things we should do. I think we have an opportunity here. I think we need to be careful of this. Let's put that all on a plan, write it down and say, done. This is our plan for the year and let's stick to it. So my fifth point is limit, not eliminate. And this is just making sure you don't give up something just for the sake of money. So let's say you really like getting a soda at the end of the day or early in the morning or a coffee. Don't cut it out cold turkey just for the sake of money. You're going to get frustrated with your money and it's going to lead you to being frustrated with your progress, especially if your finances aren't going well. So make a plan and limit and try to cut back a little bit if you're doing it for the sake of money. Start creating a plan of what days you're allowed to get that drink. It helps you feel like you aren't like completely restricting yourself. While you are restricting yourself a little bit, it helps you not feel so opposed to these changes that you're trying to help with your money. Because if you do it all at once and just completely get rid of it and your finances aren't going the right way, you're going to start to hate that and you're going to want to go right back to the thing that, well, my finances are doing okay when I was getting soda or something all the time. So limit, not eliminate. Don't make yourself feel bad just for getting rid of something for the sake of money. You're going to be fine if you're getting a drink or something every day, maybe not every day, but if you're getting a drink every few days or once a week or something like that, your finances are probably going to be just fine. It's about the bigger things and the big monthly expenses are the things you need to watch out for. But my last and sixth behavioral tip is to talk about money more. Simply just talk about it. That's what we're doing in this podcast. Talk about it more so that we can learn from each other and gain new insights. With your accountability partner, perhaps they know some fancy trick to pay off debt faster that you didn't know about. So that's a huge win for you just because you started talking about money. Now you know this new technique and you're paying your debt off way faster and you're getting on your plan even quicker. But money is this weird and taboo subject to talk about for some reason when it really shouldn't be. It helps us in so many different ways. It helps us learn new ways to save our money, learn new ways to spend or get pay off debt. It helps us stay accountable. It especially helps us with pay transparency when it comes to any sort of wage gaps in the workplace. It helps us all help each other out. And money impacts every single one of our lives. So why don't we talk about it with each other? That would be my question. I would say, ask yourself, why don't I talk about this more when it impacts everybody and everyone has some sort of relationship with money and some way that money's impacted them. So next, let's wrap up today's episode. So my final thoughts are the personal part of personal finances is the reason that it can be so hard for so many. That's why we have to talk about it more. Make more of a connected effort instead of a lonely personal one with our money. If we work together, it's going to help us all do better, and then we're all going to be happier in the long run. But thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm excited to have this new resource for you to be able to use and talk about called the 6 Behavioral Finance Tips. It's going to be really helpful for anyone struggling to understand how to get better with the personal part of their personal finances. Please consider sharing this episode and the resource with someone. It's the best way you can help this podcast grow. And when you share it, consider starting a money talk with them. That's how you can start the process of everybody getting better with their finances. If you have any questions, concerns, thoughts, or anything, a story you want to tell, please email me at moneytalk@skylarfleming.com. I would love to take any financial situations or questions and work through them on my podcast. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.